On the top of Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Omer of Yosef. We were trying to figure out why at Bayis Sheni they were Mosif on the Mizbeach. Omer of Yosef, what moved me to assume that the reason why they added to expand the area of the Mizbeach was because the Eish coming down from Shemayim would not help them with the karbonos to burn up to speed up the process of haktoras hakarbon. Lav hainu desanya. Is that not the reasoning that is explained by the Braisa? It says in the pasuk in Ezra, Vayachinu hamizbeach al mechonosov. And the Braisa darshins from this pasuk, Shehigiu lisof midosov shel mizbeach. They exploited, they used up all the measurements of the mizbeach until the outer mizbeach. The word mechonosov means al mechono. In other words, on its proper midos. And lisof midosov is like Chazal use a phrase, Yarda Torah Lesof Daito Shel Adam. It reached the tachlis of his das, the extreme boundary, the final boundary, and they achieved whatever they could achieve, and even beyond. So in other words, in Bayis Sheni, the Pasuk is telling us that the true and appropriate midos of the Mizbeach, and midos means the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a Makom HaMikdash that's Roy LeMizbeach, a place within the Mikdash that's appropriate for Mizbeach. And they found out what was disclosed to them was that it's possible to add to the Mizbeach. In Bayis Rishon, they were of the opinion that it's impossible, the halacha doesn't allow us to add to the Mizbeach. In other words, the implication here of Rav Yosef is that, and this is a little different than his original formulation, that in Bayis Rishon they would have also added to the midos of the Mizbeach had they only known that you're allowed to be Mosif. And one thing is clear, that Rav Yosef retracted his original position, possibly because he had gotten sick, the Gemara tells us in the Dorim, and he forgot his learning. But alternatively, it could be that when Rav Yosef now presents his replacement thesis, it's not the way we said it, that at the time of Shlomo Melech, time for his bias, they thought it was prohibited to expand the Mizbeach, and make it a larger Mizbeach, but maybe the Rashi seems to indicate that in the first place, they simply weren't aware of the maximum dimensions. Not that they thought it was Asur. So that's the way Rashi seems to learn the Sugya. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. If you're telling me, Rav Yosef, that during Bayis Sheni there was some sort of knowledge that was revealed to them that they didn't have at the time of Shlomo, Vaksiv, what about a pasuk in Dvarim, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil Kol Malachos Hatavnis? Let's translate the words of the pasuk in Divrei Yomim. It is all in writing, as it was elucidated to me from the hand of Hashem. In other words, David HaMelech is declaring that the entire Tavnis HaMishkan, all the specifications and the sizes of the Mishkan, and all the Makomos Kedosha V'Midoseihem, all the parts that were sanctified, and their exact measurements, everything was given to David Biksav. And that's a Kabbalah that Shmuel had that was given over to David HaMelech, and he, David, passed it on to Shlomo. So how can you tell me that in the Pasuk of Yachinu Esamizbech HaMachonosav there is a revelation, some sort of a nevuah that was not revealed to Shlomo? The Pasuk certainly indicates that David received all the specifications of the Migdash and all the Mekomos HaKadoshim, the whole Tavnis HaMishkan, all the Midos, and he passed it on to Shlomo Melech. So how can Rav Yosef say that Shlomo did not know how much or the maximum Shetach area of the Mizbeach? Surely David passed on all the information to Shlomo. It doesn't make any sense there to reason that Shlomo made the Mizbeach smaller than he should have. Now Rav Yosef is going to offer a suggestion that although the maximum size of the Mizbeach was in fact transmitted by David to Shlomo Melech, but it was by way of some sort of a remez, an allusion, which was not clear to Shlomo Melech. And the actually Knesset HaGedolah, they understood this allusion, this remez. And that's El Omer of Yosef, Kroa Ashkach V'Dorash. In Bayis Sheni, it wasn't that they had a special nevuah that was revealed to them when they were building the second bayis, a new nevuah, but rather they found a pasuk. Shlomo didn't understand exactly this drasha of the pasuk. They were able to darshan the pasuk, and we'll read the pasuk in a minute. Just let's point out here that if there was a new nevuah, it's impossible to say that it wasn't revealed to Shlomo Melech as well. However, something that's in a drasha in a pasuk, it's possible that Shlomo was not aware of that drasha, whereas they, later on in history, at the time by Sheni, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were aware of this drasha. So in other words, it wasn't that Lo nizgal lo guf hadin b'nevuah, meaning as if to say that Shlomo Melech wasn't worthy of a prophecy that would reveal the exact dimensions of the Mizbeach. In Hilchas Nevuah, Shlomo Melech would have access to the same Nevuah, because that Nevuah was revealed to David HaMelech, and certainly it was a detailed nevuah, and he would have been, and David certainly would have transmitted it to Shlomo Melech. But rather, we're not talking about a nevuah, but rather information that was understood by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, revealed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah by darshaning the words of the nevuah that was given to David HaMelech. David HaMelech's nevuah was presented in a very, shall we say, ambiguous way or enigmatic way. Shlomo did not understand the allusions in the nevuah of David HaMelech as far as the Midos HaMizbeach is concerned. With the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they were able to take apart this remez, to decipher the illusion. And now the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk of the Nevuah of David HaMelech that contains this remez and how it was interpreted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Vayomer David, Zehu Beis Hashem Elokim, Vizeh Mizbach Liola LiYisrael. Let's translate this pasuk. this is the Bayis Hashem, the temple of Hashem, and this is the Beis Elokim, and this is the Mizbach, the Mizbeach Li'ola, for the Karbonos Ola of Klal Yisrael. And in this pasuk, David is mentioning both the Migdash, the Bayis, and the Mizbeach in a parallel construction. In other words, there's a hekesh here between the Bayis and the Mizbeach. Ki Bayis, meaning the Mizbeach should be like the Bayis. Ma Bayis, Shishim Ama. The Beis HaMikdash, it says in Malachim Beis, was Shishim Ama. And the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, it says, Vabayis Asher Bona Melech Shlomo Lashem Shishim Ama Orko. Is so too, af the area for the Mizbeach is Shishim Ama. Again, even though we'll see later on that the midos of Orcho and Rochbo, of the length and the width of the Mizbeach, are not ma'akvos, they're not absolutely critical, but nevertheless, you cannot add beyond this maximum shear. In other words, you cannot be Makadesh in the area of the Mizbeach beyond Shishim Amo. That's what this Hekesh apparently teaches us. In other words, although they didn't expand the area of the Mizbeach to that large area of 60 Amma, that's because the shear of Godel HaMizbeach is not Ma'akev, and you can make it a little bit smaller, and they expanded it only by 4 Amos towards the south, 4 Amos towards the west. That's how much they needed it. No, Shlomo didn't know this drasha. Had he known this drasha, it's possible that he himself would have expanded the size of the Mizbeach, and even perhaps larger than they did at the time by Sheni, but he wasn't aware of this opportunity, of this license to expand the size of the Mizbeach. He didn't have the drasha of this pasuk. So in other words, you're not forced to say that the reason why Shlomo Melech wasn't Mosif on the Mizbeach is because he had the Eish Min HaShamayim that was Messiah. It's possible that the reason why he didn't add and expand the size, the measurement of the Mizbeach, is because he wasn't able to do so, given the fact that he didn't have this drush in the pasuk. Now the Gemara wants to know, how is it possible that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola knew at the time of Bayis Sheni to build the second Migdash, exactly where every single thing in the Migdash belonged, is Bishlema? I can understand that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola knew where to build the Bayis, meaning the Heichal and the Azoros, Minkara Tzuraso. In other words, you could see in the Karka the Tzuras HaBayis, you could see the Yesodos, the foundations that were left from the places of the Ksolim, Ella. But what about the Mokom HaMizbeach? Mino Yadei. How did they know exactly where the location was of the Mizbeach? That wasn't Nikar Bakarka. That wasn't something that was easily to be discerned in the ground itself. Again, even though, keep in mind, the Mizbeach also was established by Yesodos HaKarka, but nevertheless it wasn't absolutely clear like the Yesod of the Chomos, like the foundation of the walls itself. Because the Mizbeach was not Amok, it wasn't deep down in the Karka like the Yesodos of the Chomos HaMikdash. And therefore, how could they possibly know exactly where the Mizbeach was located? The foundations of the walls they could determine, and they would know exactly where which was the appropriate place for the Migdash, for the Azoros. But although the Mizbeach had foundations, they were not set deeply into the ground, and they were no longer discernible at the time of Binyan Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Lazar answers, Ra'u. They had an avuah of Mizbeach Bonui, of the Mizbeach up in Shamayim, which is Mechuvan Kenegin, the Mizbeach Shalmata, down in heaven, Umichol Asar HaGodol Omen Umakrival of Karbonos. They had a vision of Michael being Makriv Karbonos on the Mizbeach up in Shamayim, and they knew it was exactly parallel to the location that had to be designated on the earth in the Mikdash for the Mizbeach. And the Gemara Menachos establishes that even during the time of Churban Abayis, Michal, the Sarah Gadol, was Makriv Karbonos. And Tosus adds here that Midrashos Chalukim Yesh Mishaomer Nishmoseim Shal Tzadikim Yesh Mishaomer Kvasim Shal Eish. These are all sorts of mystical insights as to what went on in Shamayim. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchomar, Ofro Shal Yitzchak, Rou Shemunach Bioso Mokom. In other words, at the time of that Kedas Yitzchak, in some spiritual sense, Yitzchak was actually burnt on the Mizbeach, and the Afer, the ashes of Yitzchak, was resting on a certain place. They knew that was the place of the Mizbeach. Now, the Yavetz interprets that this Afer is not the Afer of Yitzchak's body, but rather of the Eitzim and the Isle and the Ram that was brought as a replacement for Yitzchak. And that's called the Ofro Shel Yitzchak. In other words, whatever was done to the Ayal, that's considered as if it was done to Yitzchak himself. And the Brisker Rav has a discussion about this in his Pirush al Torah. Ra'u shemunach bi oso makom. Maybe Ra'u here might mean that they had a prophetic vision of the makom of the Mizbeach. They knew exactly where it would have to be located. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omar, Mikol HaBayis, the entire area of the Bayis, Kulo Herichu Reach HaKtores. There was an aroma of the Ketores which could be smelled all over the Beis HaMikdash. But Misham, but on the Makom HaMizbeach, Harichu Reach Evarim. They didn't smell the aroma of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather they smelled the aroma of the Evarim, of those limbs that were burnt on the Mizbeach. And that's how they knew, that's how they were able to determine the exact location of the Mizbeach. It was a different kind of a smell, not the smell of the Ketores, which is a wonderful smell, but the smell of the burnt parts of the Karbonos, the Evarim that were brought on the Mizbeach. The Gemara in Yuma says that when the Ketores was burnt, the aroma could be smelled as far as Yericho, and the women who wore clothing, their clothing would have this wonderful aroma from the Ketores from the Beis HaMikdash. But in the area of the Mizbeach, it was a different kind of aroma of roasted limbs, perhaps from the Karbonos Ola. The Gemara now brings the words of Rabbi Yochanan and a Braisa in this context, and from this we can understand another answer to the question of how did they know that they should be Mosif on the Mizbeach, and how did they know the exact location of the Mizbeach. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shloshin Nevi'im, this is the last period of Nevuah, that's Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Olu Imoim, and Agola. They came up to Yerushalayim from the exile. At the time that they built the second Beis HaMikdash, Echad Heid Lahem Al Mizbeach, one testified that Niskadish Lo Mokom Ad Shishim Amma, there was an area of 60 Amma that was sanctified, that was dedicated for the Mizbeach, and therefore we can expand the Mizbeach up until that point. Again, when it says Eidus, Shloshin Neviim, Olim Echad Heid, this testimony, we're not sure. Are we talking about Eidus Al Pi Nevuah, some sort of a prophecy? But again, the word Eidus doesn't sound like that. It sounds like some sort of a testimony. Perhaps this testimony is based on the interpretation of the pasuk that we saw earlier, "Vayomer David Zehu Beis Hashem Elokim Zeh Mizbach Mizbech Li Ola Li Yisrael." I don't know. The Echad Heid Lahem Al Makom HaMizbech. The other testimony was not on the measurements and the size of the mizbech, but rather on the exact location of the mizbech. The Echad Sheheid Lahem Shemakrivim Afal Pi She'ein Bayis. A testimony on an earlier halachic principle that they now would transmit to Klal Yisrael, that even if there's no Beis HaMikdash that's built, nevertheless they could be makriv karbonos in the Makom HaMikdash based on the principle of Kedusha Rishona, Kiddush L'Shaita V'Kiddush HaLosid Lavo, the original Kiddush of the Makom HaMizbeach, of the Makom HaMikdash at the time of Shlomo Melech, was a Kedusha Olamis, an eternal Kedusha even after Churban, which means that even though Eretz Yisrael itself was Kitchel Shaitav, a low Kitchel Asid Lavo, and after Churban, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, as far as Trumas and Maestris, was undermined, but nevertheless the Kedusha of the Makom HaMikdash continued even after Churban. And the Gemara now quotes a Braisa that Rabbi Yochanan had just presented is really in a braisa. Masnis in Tana, we can find it in a braisa in a slightly different nusach. The braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Shlosha Neviim, again, Chag Yizchari and Malachi, Olui Moimen Agola, at the time of the Binyan Bayis Sheni, Echad Sheheid Lahem Al Mizbeach, meaning that the size of the Mizbeach is 60 Amma. The Al Makom Mizbeach, another Eidus, was on the exact location of the Mizbeach. The Echad Sheheid Lahem Shemakrivim Afal Pisha Ein Bayis, because Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Asid Lavo. The Echad Sheheid Lahem Al HaTorah Shetikasev Ashuris. In other words, what we talk about here is not a Ksav Ivri, but a Ksav Ashuri. The Ksav Ashuri is the Ksav that we have. We write our Torah in Ksav Ashuris because it came up from Ashur, as the Gemara says, the Sanhedrin. And there's one day in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that this was always the script that was used. And it was called Ashuris because of Gedula. That's based on a Pasuk in Bereishis, Ki Ashurani Banos. It means Gedula, greatness. It's mehulal, it's wonderful, it's perfect, has many milas. No two letters are similar, one to the other. But others assume that until this period of time, they used the Ksav Ivri. Now, our Ksav Ashuri, as we use it, is both, for Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah, Ivri, we can find on coins that date back to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi assumes that the Torah was originally given in Ivri, whereas Ezra introduced the use of Ksav Ashuri for Stam. And again, as we said earlier, there are two different opinions. One opinion was the Torah itself was given in Ashuri, but it was forgotten subsequently, and it was reintroduced by Ezra. And another opinion has it that it was always from the original time of the Torah in Iksav Ashuri. Now there's one opinion in Sanhedrin that Iksav Ashuri was revealed at the time of Daniel, but it was only established as a Iksav Kavua at the time of Ezra. And the Chazal say that Roy Shetinosin Torah al Yodo, the greatness of Ezra was such that the Torah should have been given through Ezra. And Ezra changed the Ksav from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuri. The Braisa Masechta Sanhedrin says that this change in the Tzuras HaOsios, which Ezra introduced, was already hinted at in the Torah itself, in the Pasuk in Dvarim Yud Zayin, Ukvikosav Lo Es Mishnah Torah Zos. The word Mishnah means a Ksav that would be changed in the future. But at the time of Ezra, the Torah was, up till that time, apparently was in Ksav Ivri, and the change in the Ksav was initiated by and established by Ezra from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuri. It's also possible that at the time of Ezra there was a change in the very language with which the Torah was transmitted. Until that point it was transmitted in Aramit, and at this point Klal Yisrael adopted Lashon Kodesh Dafka. And at this point, the Gemara adds a Braisa, Rabbanan Keren. Again, there were four corners of the Mizbeach on the top of the Mizbeach. Each Keren had the length and the width and the height of an Amma. The Kevesh, on the southern side of the Mizbeach, there was a ramp that led up to the Mizbeach. The length of the Kevesh in the Beis HaMikdash was 32 Amma. Its width was 16 Amma. The Yesod was like a step that was close to the bottom of the Mizbeach. Its height and its width was an Amma. And the Yesod went all the way around the sides of the Mizbeach on the western side, on the northern side, and it was Nimshach one Amma on the southern side and one Amma on the Mizrach side. In the other Tzidei, the other sides of the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Yesod. Viribua, the Mizbeach had to be exactly square with 90 degree angles on each corner, and that's derived from the pasuk that requires ribua, and the zavios, the various corners of the mizbeach, and the saviv was meruba. It was not rectangular; it was square. And what's the din of the saviv? Whether it's ma'akiv in the mizbeach, we don't know. But the Braisa does mention those four requirements, and if any of them are missing, for example, if the Mizbeach was done without four corners, or without a Kevesh on the southern side, or without a Yesod on the western and the northern sides, or if it wasn't exactly square, it's not called a Mizbeach. However, Midas Arko, Midas Rochbo, Midas Komoso, Ein Ma'akvin. It's not absolutely critical to have a specific measurement of the length, width, or height of the Mizbeach. And it can be done in any way that's chosen. In other words, there's freedom of choice here. Now, it's possible, it's not clear, what with regard to the Midos, the exact measurements of the Kronos, the Kevesh, and the Yesod. Again, it would definitely have to be made according to some measurements, but exactly what those measurements are, we don't know. Now, the measurements of the Mizbeach, although they can be made smaller, they can't be made larger. In other words, if the Mizbeach is made larger than Shishim Amo in its length or its width, that's not acceptable. The Mizbeach itself might be kosher, because the Midas Orko Rochvo Enamak Kevis is not critical, but nevertheless, you wouldn't be allowed to use the Mizbeach, because such an area of such length, of such width, would not have been sanctified. The Gemara now clarifies the sources of these dinim in the Braisa. Minani Mili, how does the Braisa know these dinim? Amar Rav Huna, on each one of these, Keren Kevesh, Yisod, and Ribu, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, HaMizbeach. This is in Vayikra Dalid. The Pasuk says, Umin Hadam, Yitein Al Karnos HaMizbeach, Asher Lifnei Hashem, Asher Biol Moed. So there's HaMizbeach. With regard to Kevesh, the Pasuk says, so the first Pasuk that we quoted is a reference to Keren. That's called Al Karno Samizbeth. Yitain Al Karno Samizbeth. The Kevesh is indicated in that, in Vayikra, but in Perik Vav, there it says, Vizos Torah Samincha HaKrevosa Bnei Aron Lefnei Hashem El Pnei HaMizbeach. And the meaning of this pasuk is the Kevesh, that's called the Pnei HaMizbeach, because through, by going up this ramp, you climb up to the Mizbeach itself, you ascend to the Mizbeach. And just like the eastern side of the Ol Moed is called Pnei Ol Moed, so too the Pnei HaMizbeach here is a reference to the Kevesh. With regard to the Yisod, the pasuk says in Vayikra Dal ve'eskol dama yishpoch el yisod hamizbeach. With regard to ribua, the pasuk says in Shmos Perek Chav Zayin ravua yeh hamizbeach. And the statement of Rav Huna concludes with the following: v'chol mokom shenemar hamizbeach la'akev. Whenever the Torah used the word hamizbeach, it's indicating something that's absolutely critical. The Torah is coming to tell us that it's not called a Mizbeach, doesn't have a Shem Mizbeach without, in the absence of that particular element. Now, there's the Karkov, which was in the Mizbach HaNechoshes, and the question is whether that's also Ma'akev in the Mizbeach. There also it says HaMizbeach El Me'ata. The Gemara asks, if you're telling me whenever it says HaMizbeach, it's critical, it's Likuva, what about the Karachov, which is the cure? And we have in the case of the cure, according to Rebbe, cure in this context means different engravings of flowers, of prachim, of tzitzim, of kloim. And these were done around the Mizbeach on the top half of the Mizbeach, according to Rebbe. There was a Sovev, according to Rabbi Yossi. Sovev is a blita, something that jutted out of the side of the Mizbeach, which was done for beauty. And that was one amma of high, one amma high, that was all around the Mizbeach. And one amma above the middle section of the Mizbeach. The Sovev was in the Mizbeach in the Midbar, and the question is, Hachinami, that's according to Rabbi Yosef Rud, Hachinami de Ma'akev, should that be absolutely critical? Because also the word HaMizbeach appears, the Chsiv, it says in Shmos Chav Zayin, Vasisalo Michbar Maasei Reshes Nechoshes Vinasato Sotachas Karkov HaMizbeach Milamala Vitanya Eza Karkov. What does the Torah mean by the word Karkov? That underneath it there was a Michbar Vinasato Sa Vasislo Michbar. Is Rabbi Omer Zekir and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yud Omer Zeha Sovev? So the word michbar is translated as a strip of copper meshwork that surrounded the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pasuk tells us that the michbar should be under the karkov, but it doesn't say exactly where the karkov is. I'm sorry, let me correct myself. It doesn't say in the Pasuk exactly what the karkov is. And here we have machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. Both agree that the karkov was something decorative. According to Rebbe, it was a decorative panel of illustrations, designs, and it encompassed the entire Mizbeach. This karkov was certainly decorative, that everybody agrees to, and it surrounded the Mizbeach, everybody agreed. It protruded from the walls of the Mizbeach, everybody agrees. The machlokus is that whereas Rebbe, this band, had illustrations and designs, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it was plain. The karkov of the Mizbeach of Moshe was later, at the time of the Migdash, replaced by the sovev, which we said was a ledge in the Mizbeach. And the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi applies to the soviv as well. And that's why Rebbe Yossi calls it a soviv. He calls the karkov a soviv. According to Rebbe, since it was a decorative panel that surrounded the soviv, according to Rebbe Yossi, there was no such panel. And after the Braisa records this machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara asks, since the word Hamizbeach is used with regard to the Karkov, are we saying that this Karkov, which is either again a decorative design or some sort of a ledge, would be absolutely critical? And the Gemara says, in fact, the Karkov is essential. The Sanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Oso Hayom Nifkama Keren Hamizbeach. In other words, stones were thrown on the Mizbeach. This Braisa is talking about a story of one of the Kohanim who was at Stuki. And what happened was he did the nisuch of the mayim on Sukkis al gavi raglov, which means that the tzdukim denied the mitzvah of nisuch hamayim. It's not written in the Torah explicitly, and as a result, the people pelted him with esrogim. And the Braisa tells us that on that day nifkama keren hamizbeach. In other words, because they threw things at the Mizbeach, apparently in order to stone this stuki, they somehow created a crack in the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach therefore became possible. So they didn't just pelt him with esrogim, but also with avonim. Again, the estrogen was soft, so they probably would not have the power, the impact to be pogging the Mizbeach. They view bull. They brought something which is called a bull, meaning after they damaged the Mizbeach, then they brought a fistful. Bull means kimole egrof, he says, shel melach, of salt. Uses samuhu, and they plastered up that part of the keren shenifgama, and in a sense they concealed the damage that was done to the corner of the Mizbeach. Velo mipnei shekoshel avoda, not because as a result of covering up this damage, the Mizbeach would become kosher, Ella, but rather for the honor of the Mizbeach. Shelo yiroa haMizbeach pogum, so it shouldn't be obvious that the Mizbeach was damaged. And that which was nifsal, shekol hamizbeach, kol mizbeach she'ein lo keren, v'kevesh, v'yisod v'ribu apostle. Because the Bryce establishes that if the mizbeach is lacking in any of those four things that we mentioned earlier, the mizbeach is posel. It's disqualified. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, af ha-sovev, in addition to those four things, the sovev itself is also critical to the mizbeach, and if it's missing, the mizbeach is posel. What we learn from this Bryce is that the karkov is ma'akiv in the mizbeach. And the reason for that is because it says HaMizbeach. And that's why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says L'shitosa that the Karkov is the Sovev, because the Sovev is Ma'akev in the Mizbeach. Again, according to Rebbe, the Karkov are those decorative designs that's also critical in the Kashrus of the Mizbeach. It's interesting that the previous brice that was brought early in the Gemara does not mention the karkov, either the kiyar or the sovev, when it mentions and enumerates the keren, the kevesh, the yisod, and the ribua, that those are critical. So there seems to be a slight discrepancy, or maybe even a serious discrepancy, between the two brisos. Now, we mentioned before that there's machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi regarding the karkov, exactly what it is. But both agree that it's some sort of a ledge, and it's also called a sovev. It's a blita that juts out of the mizbeach. Rashi says this also back on Daf Nun Tesam and Beis. It's boleit misavivav. And Rashi al Torah in Shmos Perek Chav Zayin writes that the sovev was a chritz, was some sort of a indentation. In any event, in the Mishkan there was a sovev, and it was a blito, a chritz, and it was done for noi. It was on the height of 6 amos going up from the bottom. And even though in the Beis Olamim there was a sovev also at the gova of 6 amos, but there it was 1 amah wide, and from that ledge, which was boleit, it reached the Makom HaMarocha, and that's the brice that we had back on Daf Nun Dalid. Ketzad bonim es mizbech meviim malbein v'chozur mevi malbein shu shloshim ama al shloshim ama v'govo chamesh amos v'chozur mevi malbein shu chafches 28 amos on 28 amos, and its height was 3 amos. And that's the Makom HaMarocha. We'll see this also later on in Daf Samachhei. There's going to be Machlokes if the Marocha was on top of the Sovev, and therefore they were able to make the Marocha on that Amma in the Makom of the Makom HaSovev. Now, the Machlokes here between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, whereas Rebbe says it's a Kiyur, and Rebbe Yossi says it's a Karkov, again, in the Mishkan, there was a chritz or a blita, and in the Beis Olam, it was the sovev. The Rambam, in Perek Beis Mibeis HaBechira, paskins that any mizbeach that's missing a keren, a yisod, a kevesh, or ribua is posel, shar ba'asan, these four things are ma'akvim. He doesn't mention the karkov at all, and it's ma'akev. And this is noticed by the Teferis Yisrael, the super commentary on the Mishnayos and Midos per Gimel. And he says that on the top Amma, on the height of the Sovev Lamala Michut HaSikra, was above that Chut that went around the middle of the Mizbeach, there were Mitzuyarim Prachim Tzitzin Bolton. And that's the Gemara's Maskona here in Asugya. But why did the Rambam omit it? After all, we passed like Rebbe, and the Braisa also reflects the sheet of Rebbe. Now, in our sugya, the Braisa is brought to support Rebbe, and it's not clear what the Teferis Yisrael means by this. Perhaps he means that the Braisa says that on that day when they pelted the Kohen Stuki and Nifkuma Keren HaMizbeach, and they established that any mizbeach that has no keren v'kevish v'yisod ribu is possible. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says af hasovev means the Tanakhama did not accept the premise, the principle that sovev is ma'akev. But why doesn't the Rambam Paskin Rebbe, that was the Kashya Tiferes Yisrael, the Rambam is difficult because he completely omits the din of Karkov, that's Ma'akev. He doesn't have neither Kior nor Sovev. Our sugya seems to clearly indicate that Karkov is Ma'akev, according to everybody. There's no Machlokes except what is the Karkov. But why didn't the Rambam Paskin at least one of these two Shitos? And it's possible that since in our sugya the Halacha seems to indicate that Rebbe is correct, the Mishnayos and Midos seem to reflect the halacha of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, the Mishnayos lo hizker don't mention that there was a kiyor to the mizbeach as Rebbe would have it. But on the other hand, it seems that the Mishnayos reflect over and over again that there was a sovev, and the Rambam doesn't reflect any of these shitos. So that's a difficulty in understanding the Rambam. Now let's continue a little bit. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara brings a brisa regarding Karkov, Ezu Karkov. And the brisa says that on the top of the Mizbeach, Bein Keren LeKeren, between one corner of the Mizbeach and the other, was a Mokom Hiluch Ragle Akolim Ama. And it sounds like the Karkov was a shetach, was an area of an amah, which was between the Kronos HaMizbeach, and it was dedicated for the Hiluch, for the walking of the Kohanim. And the Gemara asks the following question, Otu HaKohanim Ben Keren LeKeren Avi Ozli? Were they walking between one Keren and the other? Weren't they going into some area inside the inner part of the Mizbeach? In other words, between one Karen and the other, one corner and the other, there's not enough of a space, a makam hiluch, to go walk around the entire top of the Mizbeach, because, in fact, the Karen would sort of be a hefsek, would interrupt them. So they certainly would have to leave another amah, sviv ha-Mizbeach, for the hiluch ha-Kohanim. Otherwise they would bang into the Keren. But rather we should interpret the Brice in the following way. Ezu Karkov, between the Keren and the Keren, is Makom Hiluch Ragle Akorim Ama. Notice the Karkov was an area that was Makif, the Marocha on the top of the Mizbeach, and had a Rochav of two Amos. And the area between one Keren and the other had a Rochav of one Amma. And the Mokom Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim, the place where the Kohanim would walk, was closer, meaning Pnimi was inside, towards the inner part of the top of the Mizbeach. And there too it was a Rochav of an Amma. This is called a Karkov, which means a Chritz. It was deeper than the Shetach Marocha HaPnimi, and it had a Goder Nemucha, some sort of a low fence, in the Sfas HaMizbeach, the outer lip of the Mizbeach, on its outer side, Mitzido HaChitzoni. This seems to be indicated by Rashi, Dibra Maskel Ezehu. And basically we could summarize the Gemara by saying the following, that the Brice is teaching us that the Karkov consisted both of the area between the Kronos HaMizbech and the area of the Mokom Hiluch HaKohanim, the walkway of the Kohanim. And it was actually, this walkway was adjacent to the area between the Kronos. So the word Karkov could mean a chrit, some sort of an indentation, which circles something, and it means a two amma wide indentation that surrounded the marocha, the fire, which is on top of the Mizbeach. One amma of its width would lay between the Kronos and Mizbeach. The second amma, which was used by the Kohanim as a walkway around the side of the marocha, at the edge of the top of the Mizbeach was a narrow rim that was raised slightly above the indented area of the Karkov. Here you'll see a little bit of a diagram. The Gemara questions this and says, "Vaksiv tachas karkuvo milamata ad chetzio," which translates in the following way. There's a pasuk in Shmos Lamed Ches. It says that he made for the Mizbech a lattice of kappa meshwork below its karkov, downwards until its midpoint. And the pasuk means that the michbar was beneath the karkov, that the michbar extended downwards to the midpoint of the Mizbech. The bottom of the michbar served as some sort of a demarcation to distinguish between the dam that would be thrown on the Mizbeach, on the Elyon, on the upper half of the Mizbeach, and the dam that was thrown in Tachton on the lower half of the Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that the Mizbeach was indeed 10 amos high, the lower edge of the Michbar was 5 amos from the ground. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Tachas Karkuvo Milamata Chetzio. So since this pasuk is describing that kapra lace that protruded from the sides of the Mizbeach, and it's described as below the Karkov, you know, it's apparent that the Karkov itself was on the side of the Mizbeach. Not the way you have interpreted that it's on the top of the Mizbeach. Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Trehav, there were two Karkovos. There was Chad Lenoy, one was for decoration, and that was Taka on the side of the Mizbeach, and that's what that Pasuk is referring to. And the definition of that Karkov is a matter of dispute between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chad, and there was another Karkov, which was Lekoanim, Delo Nishtarku, so they wouldn't slip. And that was actually on the top of the Mizbeach, and that's the karkov that's being addressed in this brisa, which was indented into the top surface, the higher upper surface of Mizbeach. It was surrounded by a rim, and that rim was kind of like a makeh. It served to prevent the kohenim from falling off the top of the Mizbeach. Rashi says the Gemara is talking about the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. As far as the Mizbechos of the various Batei Mikdashes, there was only one Karkov, and that was the indented area on the top of the Mizbeach, whereas the Karkov on the side of the Mizbeach, which during the period of the Mishkan was for decorative purposes, that was replaced by the Sovev, the ledge in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Braisa that we mentioned before spoke about the Midas Arko, the Midas Rachbo, the Midas Kobaso, all these different measurements of the Mizbeach, the length, width, the height, Ein Me'akvim, they were not absolutely essential. Omar Rabbi Mani says, Ubelvad Shalo Yifchasonu B'Mizbeach She'asa Moshe. In other words, the minimum measurements, the Midos of the Mizbeach, was established by the Mizbeach of Moshe, and you cannot make the Mizbeach any smaller. The minimum, the absolute minimum size of the Mizbeach would be the size of the Mizbeach of Moshe, Vakama. Now the Gemara is going to enter into an investigation of what the size of the Mizbeach of Moshe was, and Mirz Hashem will pick that up. We'll pick that up tomorrow. So we'll stop here. Adaf, Samach Beis, Amar Alf, towards the bottom of the Amud.